towards lower ice cover. Walt Mayer, a senior research scientist at NSIDC, who is based at the University of Colorado Boulder, said, "Even with global warming and the overall downward trend in sea ice, there is a still natural variability." The minimum Arctic sea ice extent is declining at a rate of 13.1% per decade. Mayer said, including this year, the last 15 years have had the 15 lowest minimum Arctic extents on record. The lowest minimum extent on record was set in 2012, after a very strong storm sped up the loss of thin ice that was already on the verge of melting. Stephen Armstrong, chief scientist of Polar Bears International in Bozeman, Montana, said, "The average of all the years is steadily decreasing, while the average global mean temperature is increasing." He adds that although there might be the higher sea ice extents in any given year, the frequency of bad ice years with a low minimum sea ice extent is increasing. Armstrong said, "Better ice years are increasingly anomalous in the long-term trend." Arctic regions experienced a cooler, cloudier summer season than usual this year, which was partly caused by patterns of low atmospheric pressure in the northern hemisphere. In June and July, weak low pressure in the central Arctic prevented warmer southern winds from being drawn into the area. This kept the air cold and stopped some of the ice from melting. Low pressure also causes the formation of clouds, which block sunlight. This can further slow down melting. In August, the low pressure system shifted to the north of Alaska's Beaufort and Chukchi Seas, producing air temperatures that were 2 to 3 degrees Celsius lower than average. And last year's winter winds had pushed older, thicker ice into both these. Mayer says, so going into the summer, the ice there was thicker than it had been in the recent years, and that made it a bit more resilient. However, there is also likely a climate change aspect. There is less older ice overall, and the ice cover is thinner. Thinner ice is more easily pushed around by the winds and currents. A transient increase in sea ice might create better conditions for species that use the ice to hunt, says Armstrong, adding, "But it's that downward trend of ice caused by an increasing frequency of bad ice years that determines the ultimate fate of polar bears and other sea ice-dependent wildlife."
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you bringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth.
I have a little son, and he is so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu to your listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing, where we discuss problems, questions, and other relevant issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of the answers provided in this program are based upon the Holy Quran and the narrations of the Prophet and the narrations of the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is our dear friend and guest speaker, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, welcome and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. Today's topic is, as agenda has been for the last few programs, the 26 rules or steps to follow when we want to discipline our children. We last reached the rule number 14, which we will continue now.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعنجل فرجهم. Up to now we were discussing the fact that if a parent at some stage they find it necessary for them to educate or to discipline a child or punish a child, there are a number of things they keep in mind before doing anything. And obviously, even though we say 26, it might sound a lot, but in fact, it's understanding, like they're having the understanding mentality regarding or around discipline itself, that once a parent keep it in his mind, it becomes second nature.
Right.
So simple things, I don't have to say to myself, okay, I need to punish my child, let me look at the 26.
Right.
No, sometimes just one of them is enough, you know, like, okay, let me just say, is it fitting for me to punish a child for what he did or not? That is sometimes itself to solve the issue.
Right.
So even though we say 26, let them not throw you away,
right,
or kind of make you saying, well, it's a long list. But
exactly,
each one of them, if you take just one of them, it should be more than enough for you to reconsider,
right,
how you approach disciplining a child. So number 14 is that when we try to discipline a child, it has to fit the punishment. It has to fit the mistake and not go beyond it. For example, because we mentioned this before as well, but in a different way.
Right.
For example, sometimes a child makes a mistake, and the parents, they say, well, you'll not go with us on the summer vacation. Now, that's too much.
Right.
So sometimes I send you to your room for an hour. I send you a room to your room for a day. Okay, you're not doing this for a day. But to deprive a child for something that he would be looking out for the whole year, for his summer vacation, you're not going with us on the summer vacation.
And that's
too
much.
Which is too long.
Right.
Right. We say that's completely not
appropriate
or in proportion to,
right,
the punishment. So before we said it has to be proportional. Now we're saying don't make it out of proportion.
Right.
So that's the difference between the point we mentioned before and this one. So it needs to be proportionate. This one, it should not be like way out of proportion. That the child, not only he's not going to not make that mistake, but he says, you know what? If you want to deprive me of my summer vacation, then get ready for hell.
Get ready for new trouble.
Yeah. So like, okay, so you want to do this to me? I'll show you what I'm going to do.
Right.
I'm going to do everything that will
you
make
already
you angry.
Took the most precious thing I had. Like,
yeah.
What can I lose now?
Exactly. Or like you know what? I'm just going to do a lot of bad things until you decide to take me.
Right.
Which defeats the purpose in the first place.
Of course.
So it has to be like very proportionate, and it should not go out of the way. So this is a very important point that parents need to keep in mind when disciplining their children.
Right. They say it. I must unfortunately interrupt you because we'll be going on a quick break.
I am a Muslim, Islam my deen, Allah my Lord, His word Quran, Muhammad Prophet, peace be upon him. I am a Muslim for all of time. Someday, somehow, my journey here will end. I know not when Allah will call me home. This life I live, oh, what a blessed thing. As death comes to me, these words I will sing.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we're discussing the 26 rules to follow when we want to discipline our children. Dr. Said, please continue the discussion.
Okay, number 15. When a person or an educator or a father or a mother wants to educate their children, they have to be sure that they discipline them or punish them at a time when the child is not angry.
When he's receptive to the punishment,
yeah, not
the
parent.
Logic.
Was it? I think we've already spoken that.
Right.
But when the child himself is not angry, because sometimes the children do something wrong and they get furious. They get very, very angry.
Right.
So if I want to come and I want to punish him at the same time he's angry, guess what that will do? That will just even make him more angry.
Right.
So sometimes maybe you have two siblings and they're fighting with each other and one of them just got really angry at his sibling or his brother or sister. So he's furious now. He's angry because he took his toy or broke something from him.
Right.
And he's just going hysterical. I want to come and say to him, "Why you're being stupid, you're being a child," and I have a go at him.
Right.
That's not going to make him calm down. That's not going to fix the problem.
He will lash out and hit his sibling as well on the way out.
Yeah, so you're just adding more fuel to the problem.
Right.
So you got to make sure that you say to them, "You know what? Calm down. You need to calm down. Once you finish, once everything settles down, come and we'll talk.
Like
you'll find me in my room, for example."
But yet again, like, you take a seat to calm down and tell the child to take a seat to also calm down.
Yeah, so you need to make sure that the child, when you're trying to punish him or when you're trying to send him to, I don't know, to a timeout, you have to make sure he's not angry.
Right.
Because that will just fuel his anger even worse. And then whatever you say to him is just not going to make any sense.
Right.
So child is angry, you have to make sure that he's absolutely calm and, you know, let him do whatever he wants, let him calm down, then take him aside and talk to him and try to explain to him how things work. And if it happens that you need to set appropriate punishment, then you can do it so the child is more, like you said, more perceptive to it.
Right.
And he can accept it.
Right.
But while he's angry, he will not accept it at
all, course,
period.
Not. Right.
All right. So that's number 15. Number 16 is extremely important. Extremely important, and a lot of people do this. When you want to punish a child, make sure you don't punish him with something essential to his life. For example, most parents, they will say, "You're not eating food today." They will deprive them of a meal. Right?
Right.
All right. So, okay, so he's hungry. Like, "We're not going to give you food today."
Right.
Go to your room.
Yeah.
Or like, he's eating and he does something during the meal and he gets kicked out. And he goes to his room hungry.
And no dinner for you tonight.
Yeah, and a lot of kids, once they get deprived of food, for example, they have too much pride to come down and eat and let their parents see them eat.
Right. Too shameful.
Yeah, too shameful. Like, okay, you don't want me to eat? Okay, I'm not going to eat myself. I don't want your food. And then they go. Right? That happens most of the time where kids say, "You know what? You don't want me to eat? Okay, I'm not going to eat. I don't want your food." Right. Or the mother says, "I'm not going to give you any more food." He's like, "Okay, I don't want your food." And he goes to his room. And in fact, he starves himself.
Right.
That could
right.
be very dangerous if the child becomes a lot
you
stubborn.
You say that this is emotional torture. It isn't a punishment. It's
yeah.
torture.
Yeah, so we're saying when it comes to that, make sure you don't deprive them of their food, of their drinking, right? Or sometimes like, okay, I'm not going to give you your school lunchbox today. You're not getting any food today. I'm not going to give you money for cafeteria today. So you deprive them of a meal that is essential for their existence.
That's crazy.
And their health.
Absolutely
right?
crazy.
Yeah. That's number 16 that the parents should avoid when it comes to punishing their children.
And on that note, we will take a quick break. Dear listeners.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Love children, be kind to them, and whenever you promise something to them, fulfill it."
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to the program Islamic Opinion. Today we're discussing the 26 rules to follow when you want to discipline our child. Dear Sayyid, please pick up where we left off.
So when we said with number 16 that we have to make sure that we do not punish our kids with anything essential to their life, be it sleep, or be it eating, or be it drinking, or not giving them the food because of a mistake that they made, because it will affect their life definitely in a bad way.
Do you say, just a quick question, would you consider maybe phone access or internet access also essential? Or is that too much?
It could be essential depending on how addicted the child to it. Like, you know, like a lot of doctors, I've heard this from a doctor recently, I was watching this on YouTube, that smokers, for example, they who are smoking too much,
who are addicted,
that if they stop suddenly, it will actually affect their heart arteries and they close down.
There are withdrawal symptoms also for alcohol and other substances.
No, so this is not, we're not talking about withdrawal system, we're talking about actually the heart itself, the arteries of the heart will close down and then it would be less blood pumping, because the system is so used to nicotine flowing.
Right.
So it will cause a lot of damage to the actual body. So with children is the same thing, that if he's used to something and addicted to it, like is an internet, and all of a sudden you cut it from, like, for example, he could be or around the day connected with his friends. I don't know, connected with his work, or he has something running or going himself. You know, sometimes they have these games where you have to run a village and run things.
Right. Or you're downloading something.
Yeah, so that constantly requires you to... If you come and just cut that lifeline from him, you will drive him into hysteria.
Right. And I've seen this, and there are also examples of it, of a parent punishing their child by uninstalling or deleting a game they have on their computer.
Exactly. That's absolutely wrong in every single way. Sometimes maybe the game is really bad itself.
Right.
Like a lot of parents complain about games. I agree the game is wrong. The game is bad. They shouldn't be having it. But let's go through the process. You know, we have the
steps.
Should
be gradual.
Yeah, not just be gradual. Let's just go to a process, to a step further, or principle further that we spoke about. Let's educate them.
Right, right.
Give them education. Let's sit with them. Explain to them why it's bad. Why they shouldn't be playing such a game. Why such a game has bad effect on them. And slowly, slowly, so when it comes to time, me and them deleting that game, he was like, okay, sure. You know what? I give him a replacement. Look, Habibi, this game is really bad for 1, 2, 3 reasons. We discuss it. We talk about it once, twice, three times until the idea sinks in his head.
Right.
And then I will give him a replacement. I give him something else. Like, you know what? Get out of this game.
He needs a substitute. You can't just like cut it off from his life.
Exactly. There's a lot of games that you can replace and substitute to it. And life goes on and the child is happy.
Right.
But just to cut it straight away. So like you said, in your example, internet now is almost essential to a child as much as food and drinks.
Right.
And because actually these days they don't eat and drink, but they are on the net.
Right.
So to them it's more even important than food.
It's kind of the lifeline of some children I've seen.
It is a lifeline to them now. So you have to be very careful when it comes to things that sometimes you might not consider essential.
Right.
But they consider it to be essential.
Right. So that's also important to keep in mind.
It is absolutely important.
It shouldn't be what we consider to be essential. It should be what the child considers to be essential for them, right?
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Like I said, because sometimes when we punish children or we're trying to discipline them, we discipline them based on our understanding, on our logic, not on theirs.
And on that note, we will unfortunately end today's program. Dear Sayyid, I thank you for your time, and also thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. As usual, if our listeners have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, they can contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir, or they can also find us on the various social media websites, such as on Facebook and Instagram, under the call sign of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
Food for thought.
Hello.
everyone, and how about a thought-provoking aphorism from Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace be upon him, the elder grandson and second infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. One who lacks intelligence has no decorum, and one who lacks determination has no magnanimity, and one who has no modesty has no religion.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The North Dublin suburb of Howth has a new highly efficient firefighting crew. The group has 25 members, but none of them are human.
Howth was targeted by a lot of fire, and so there's a lot of gorse here, and it's prone, it's very flammable. The goats, on the other hand, love gorse, so it's a win-win in that sense. I suppose the project also focuses on the old Irish goat, defining their role as a functional biodiversity crew. They're a hard-working crew, they're up for the job, they're keen to do it. It also instills key conservation grazing principles to tackle fire prevention, habitat management, and the control of invasive species. So it's the old Irish ladies that have a job to do here and are well able to do it.
The goats graze eagerly on the ample gorse bushes, which are highly inflammable and cause blazes in hot weather. The local council hopes their deployment will make Howth less susceptible to wildfires. Conservationists also hope that the project will contribute to the survival of the old Irish goats, which almost went extinct in the last century. Each member of the herd has a box around their neck with a built-in GPS device. If the goats stray too far, the gadget will ping and let the owner know.
Five Siberian tiger cubs born in a South Korean zoo have made their first public debut. The cubs were born at Everland Theme Park in Yongin in late June. Their birth brought joy and hope to wildlife enthusiasts as they are listed as endangered species. Zookeepers say it's unusual for Siberian tigers to give birth to five babies at once. South Korean people selected the cubs' names through an online vote. many exotic fruit plants need the tropical climate to grow, but Assyrian is producing nearly 100 types of tropical fruits at his backyard in a coastal city of Tartus. Mohammed Hassan's passion for agriculture is to the extent that he left his job in media to build a farm. He managed to create a tropical environment at his compound, and that was the reason behind his success in growing fruits that are rare in many parts of the world. In fact, he has turned his farm into what he likes to be described as a tropical cave.
I came across the world of tropical fruits as some of them existed here. Many immigrants also helped me on this path. They bought me special varieties from India, South America, the Caribbean and other countries, even China. Currently, we grow 93 types of fruits.
Hassan's success has encouraged other Tartus residents to create their own farms. The government is also assisting Hassan with his unique business. His farm is now open to tourists and visitors where they can taste the products. Hassan says he has bigger plans for the future and is thinking about using his tropical environment to raise and breed rainforest animals. In Brazil, paleontologists have discovered the fossilized remains of a dinosaur that lived roughly 70 million years ago.
It's a bipedal dinosaur with short arms, around 5 meters long, and it was at the top of the food chain in the period in which it lived. It was the predator at the time.
Paleontologists say the fossil suggests a dinosaur species known as Kurupi itata was a meat eater. They found the ancient predator's remains at one of Brazil's richest sites for dinosaur findings in the city of Sao Paulo. The first piece of Kurupi itata's fossil was unearthed during an excavation work in 2002. Until the completion of the research, a model of this species would be on display at Monte Alto's Museum of Paleontology. Experts believe the discovery would help scientists better understand paleontology on Brazilian lands. Most of us know the feeling of being moved by a work of art. A Kosovo artist tries to make us understand a form of political discourse through a mosaic of outgoing German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Alkent Pajogo has made a Merkel mosaic from seeds. The artist says he wished to thank the German leader for having been an example for all the women of the world. He says his work is also a tribute to the towering lady for the support she had given to his country, which declared its independence in 2008. Pajago was doing his work on the same day Germans were voting in the general elections to choose a successor to Merkel. Alkan Pajago holds 2 Guinness World Records for his giant mosaics made with seeds.
Technology plays an important role in our daily lives. This time, a French company has introduced a device to help the visually impaired to avoid obstacles. The smart electronic device detects obstacles and warns users with a beep. People with vision loss can install it on the top of their canes and receive information through headphones. The gadget helps people to dodge barriers on the ground and above that, for example, the open door of a truck.
If you hear the sound to the right, it means that the obstacle is on the right. If it is straight ahead, the obstacles are in front of you. So you change course according to what you hear. If you hear an obstacle to the left, you go to the right, and this way you can go around the obstacle.
The device costs around $2,300 and is now being used by hundreds of people in Belgium, France, Germany, Italy, and Switzerland.
Wally the Walrus has risen to fame with his extensive travels around Europe. Now the giant mammal has added Iceland to his list of trips. Wally has previously visited France, Spain, and the UK. His last known location before Iceland was Ireland. Scientists were not sure at first if they had indeed seen Wally, but Seal Rescue Ireland recognized him from scars on his front flippers. The wandering walrus is 4 years old and weighs about a ton. He has covered a distance of around 5,000 kilometers in his recent trips. Wally is now on his way towards his home in the Arctic. The French zoo has had a very productive year, welcoming multiple new animals into its collection. Two pumas, two jaguars, nine Peruvian squirrel monkeys, and even rarer macaque twins are new additions to Le Mignet Zoo this summer. The animals were bred as part of a program designed to maintain and promote the conservation of endangered species. Once they reach the breeding age, these animals will be transported to other zoos to help boost the population of their species.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Now, a museum in Russia's Kaliningrad has unveiled a special exhibition to the public. It would not be exactly wrong to call the artworks out of trash. All the works exhibited are made of rubbish. The exhibition is showcasing a wide array of objects, including sculptures, musical instruments, robots, and costumes. The project was designed with the aim of raising awareness about recycling. People visiting the exhibition were delighted by the creative use of garbage. Only 7% of waste is recycled in Russia each year, while a vast amount of trash is stored in landfills.
An Egyptian artist is making incredibly tiny statues of famous historical figures and landmarks on pencil tips. 30-year-old Ibrahim Balal is based in the city of Rashid, south of Cairo. He has mastered the art of crafting miniature sculptures. Ibrahim mostly creates statues of Egyptian pharaohs, but Islamic, Greek, and Roman figures also feature in his portfolio. The artist received some criticism when he first ventured on his art, but he persevered and rose to prominence with his minuscule statues. Ibrahim's dream is to open a museum of miniature sculptures someday.
Fourteen lucky penguins have been returned to the seas off the Atlantic coast of Argentina after rehabilitating them from malnutrition and hypothermia. The Magellanic penguins waddled back happily into the chilly waters once they were released. They were distressed, malnourished, and dehydrated when they were found by conservationists in February. There are an estimated 2 to 3 million Magellanic penguins in the world. The cute birds are named after Portuguese explorer Ferdinand Magellan. They are mostly found around Argentina and Chile.
Another groundbreaking archaeological discovery in Peru is now catching attention. 800-year-old human remains south of the capital, Lima, highlight the ancient burial rituals in the South American country. The remains of 8 adults and children buried in a common tomb were found by a group of workers laying gas pipes at the site. They were buried with food, dishes, and musical instruments, including flutes. Archaeologists say that the 8 people lived in the ancient town of Chilca, some 60 kilometers from Lima. They say some of the bodies were buried with the shells on their heads and had bags with cocoa leaves inside them. They say the discovery will shed more light on the pre-Hispanic history of the region. Another 30 human remains had been discovered in Chilca in 2018.
A taxi company in Thailand has turned its vehicles into mini vegetable gardens to help its drivers who are out of work due to the coronavirus pandemic.
The point of this project is so that employees have something to do to reduce stress. To a certain extent, it has helped with reducing our stress, but it isn't really the answer to the situation right now. Even though the drivers and the staff are able to harvest the vegetables for food, it's just part of solving the problem. I think the government should also step in to help us too.
The taxi company is growing vegetables on the roofs and hoods of 300 disused taxis that are parked idly. Prolonged COVID-19 lockdowns have affected the drivers' income negatively so that they are unable to pay the lease of their vehicles. Therefore, working in these gardens has reduced their stress and provided the drivers and their families with food. Farmers working on the border between Venezuela and Colombia have discovered a tusk that is believed to belong to an American mastodon from 16,000 years ago.
We went to the place and the fossil was there, and then we realized it was something very important. We rescued it because there was a risk of it being lost, and at this moment, it's in the Archaeological and Paleontological Museum of Aguilinda.
The experts say the discovery would help them with complementing information about extinct animals and ancient settlements. They say the finding of the tusk in the site would increase its potential contribution to scientific researchers. The discovery of mega faunal fossils in South America has been common over the past decades. In 2019, more than 800 mammoth bones were discovered near Mexico. A group of Cambodian students has designed a manned drone in an attempt to beat traffic. The drone has eight propellers and a school chair for the pilot's seat. It can carry a human weighing up to 60 kilograms. The creative students say the drone is still in its early stages of development and testing. Equipped with four batteries, the human carrier drone can fly up to 4 meters and around 10 minutes above the ground.
Here we have big problems related to traffic jams, so we did some research about this before building the drone. We came up with this drone project as we had the idea that we wanted to solve some problems for our society by making a drone taxi, as well as investing drones for firefighters to help put out fires.
The prototype has cost around $20,000 to build. The designers say they need 2 more years to complete the project. The school has expressed hope that the drone could be used in everyday life.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters. Salam and welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. The topic of today's special is about the importance of Hijrah of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny.
Rasulullah, Habiballah, Rasulullah, Habiballah.
Today, Sunday, is the 26th of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Mehr, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 3rd of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is for blessing this moment, listening to verse 97 of chapter Nisa from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Innal ladhina tawaffahumul malaikatu zalimi anfusihim qalu fima kuntum qalu kunna mustad'afina fil ard. قالوا ألم تكن أرض الله واسعة فتهاجروا فيها فأولئك مأواهم جهنم وساءت مصيرا.
Indeed, those whom the angels take in death while wronging themselves, the angels will say, "In what condition were you?" They will say, "We were oppressed in the land." The angels will say, "Was not the earth of Allah spacious enough for you to emigrate therein? For those, their refuge is hell, and evil it is as a destination."
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The verse was revealed and counted guilty those who did not migrate and stayed in the environment of infidelity. The verse blamed them because they had wronged against themselves. Thus, it is obligatory to migrate from the center of infidelity and staying there to be a multitude of the soldiers of the disbelievers is unlawful. If you can change the circumstances of the environment, do it. Else you should migrate from there in order not to be called to account, because justification of faults will not be accepted.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love. And you showed that you're the one who cares the most. And to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, "Please save me," except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati. يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها.
Here we're speaking about the significance of Hijrah, migration of Prophet Muhammad to Medina, and that is not limited to the Islamic history or to Muslims. Hijrah not only reshaped socially and politically the Arab Peninsula, but also had its impact on worldwide civilizations. Throughout the history of Islam, the migration was a transitional line between the two major areas, regarding to the message of Islam, the era of Mecca and the era of Medina. In this essence, this signified a transition from one phase to another. Transition from the position of weakness, where the non-believers of Mecca humiliated, tortured, and killed Muslims, to the position of strength. This is where Muslims were allowed to define themselves and were able to defeat their adversaries.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin Astain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the emigration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. As we know, in world history, all prophets started the started promulgation of the divine messages, first and foremost from their own communities. And as prophets received revelations, I mean divine revelations, in order first to guide their own communities, usually in their own communities they were faced with many problems and difficulties. The Prophet of Islam, that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was no exception in this regard. Hence we find that the close kins of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca started opposing him and imposing almost all sorts of restraints and problems and sanctions in his way to promulgate the Islamic religion. And because of this, we find that so long as the Prophet Muhammad's paternal uncle, so Abu Talib, was present, and his wife Khadija was present, when both of them were present, the infidels and pagans of Mecca couldn't do anything. I mean, couldn't do any harm to to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First and foremost, because Abu Talib was a powerful chief tribe in Mecca. Abu Talib was the head of the Quraysh tribe in Mecca, and most specifically that of Bani Hashim. And at the same time, Khadija was a wealthy widow of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we find that in that community, so long as Abu Talib and Khadija were alive, the pagans of Mecca couldn't do any harm to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, when both of these two powerful supports of the Prophet Muhammad passed away, the opponents of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to kill him at night. Because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to leave Mecca in order to get rescued from the harms and conspiracies of the Meccan infidels and pagans.
يا إمام الأنبياء أنت في الوجدان حي أنت للعينين ضي أنت عند الحوض ري أنت هاد وصفي يا حبيبي يا محمد.
Today is a special and speaking about timeless lessons from the Hijrah of Prophet Muhammad, his migration from Mecca to Medina. Allah is not in need of us. This is one lesson from this great Hijrah. Allah says that even if the believers do not aid the Prophet in circumstances when it is not really that difficult, then that is not an issue. Allah will aid his Prophet and his religion in ways that none can imagine. Everyone in Mecca expected the Prophet to be dead by the morning, and yet Allah saved him and took him to Medina. He did not need any army to protect him. The Prophet only needed Allah. It is a reminder to us that whenever we do something that is for the benefit of Islam, we are only helping ourselves. Allah's faith is not in need of us, and He will protect His faith and the legacy of His Prophet. We are in need of Him, and whatever good we do is good for us. And Allah is as Samad. That means the one who is free from need, but everyone depends on Him.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
The Hijrah of the Messenger of Allah from Mecca to Medina. This is today's special. Some time passed after the incident of Taif, during which the Prophet would go to the small towns and villages, calling people to wake up to the truth of his message, to the truth of Islam. One of the most pleasant areas we may mention by name was the small town of Yathrib, which later came to be called as Madinatul Rasul, the town of the messenger. The inhabitants of Yathrib, who because of long years of bitter fighting with the people of Mecca, were obliged to live in very straitened circumstances. They joined the forces of Islam and swore that they would support the Prophet to the last drop of blood. The noble Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, took advantage of the situation and formed a military encampment of disarmed forces. The people of Mecca, especially its leaders, had slipped into a deep sleep, imagining that the Holy Prophet's mission had lost its impetus and would soon fade into obscurity. Sayyid Saleh al-Qazvini.
Rasulullah migrated, and the Quran speaks about migration. The first migration that the Muslims went to Ethiopia, to Abyssinia, they went before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. But Rasulullah, he had to stay because he is a messenger and he is delivering a message. And the Quran describes to us how it wasn't only Rasulullah that migrated. Other prophets have also migrated. Allah describes how Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he migrated from Iraq to Jerusalem after they threw him in the fire and they tried to kill him. Allah says in the Quran, وَقَالَ إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ رَبِّي هَبْلِي مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. He left. He saw that staying in the place where he was, Prophet Ibrahim, he saw that it was stagnant. He couldn't do anything else. So he left. And Allah says, أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا. The land of Allah is vast. Go and travel. If you are not comfortable in one place, if you cannot practice your faith in one place, go and live somewhere else. So the prophets traveled. The prophets migrated. They left their lives behind them, and they went and they started in a new life. Who else migrated with Ibrahim? Lut, who was his nephew. فَآمَنَ لَهُ لُوطٌ وَقَالَ إِنِّي مُهَاجِرٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Lut also migrated with Ibrahim. And he went and he was a prophet of Allah. He went and he began to preach the message. Another person who also migrated and left his town and left the people that he knew was Prophet Musa alayhi salam. He left Egypt. Allah describes, فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ قَالَ رَبِّ نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. He didn't just migrate. He ran away. He was afraid because they were running after him. And similarly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he also had to migrate.
Mustafa. Dear friend, that was all for today's special. Inshallah, we visit each other, same time, same channel. Till then, may Allah keep all of you in safe and peace. Have a nice time.
And hearts frozen from your Allah came a prophet chosen. Bless prophets Muhammad, obedient to you, taught us the things we have to do. Muhammad ya Rasul Allah, Muhammad ya Habib Allah, Muhammad ya Nabi.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.